They call Chris Paul the point god. And we have the recently popular food god, which I'm sure everybody's seen on social media. But today we have the punt god. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Do you just hate that name, punt god? Or like, tell me like just about it and what you feel about the name punt god and where it came from.
It's a little bit extra for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, I was a little bit uncomfortable with it, but I think, you know, people can say whatever they want. That's part of being a professional athlete, and it can be good or bad. So you don't really have much room to complain when it's good. It's kind of the way you see it.
Right. There's worse nicknames. Like, I'm sure, like, Chris Paul is not complaining about being the point guard.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, so, like, for obvious reasons, let's start off talking about punting, man. Like, I was looking, I saw a great Sports Illustrated article titled "Why Bill Belichick Uses Left Foot Punters." And so I know it has to do with the rotation of the ball and, you know, and how returners see it, and there's advantage there. But like, talk to me about like, do you see advantage of being a left footed punter? I know you're right handed too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little weird. I'm right handed, left footed. I do most things as a right footed person would do. There's a couple of things I do lefty, but mostly righty. But it definitely is a huge advantage the way the ball spins. But yeah, it's not just that, because a punt doesn't travel exactly like a quarterback's throw. There's a lot more movement on it, similar to a knuckleball. And so there's times where I hit punts where not only is it spinning counterclockwise, but it's also rotating and knuckling counterclockwise. And that's why I do see a lot of drops. I remember in high school one time I hit a ball that had a ton of movement on it, and the returner's back there. He's looking, he's trying to track it, and it just goes right off his helmet, bounces up 10 feet, and we were able to recover it. So I do see it as an advantage.
But is that a skill? It's obviously a skill you worked on, but it must have – did it come somewhat natural to you?
It did, yeah. I had a big soccer background going up. So I kind of always had a ball at my feet and built the coordination there. It's a little bit of a transition. It is different. In soccer, every time you hit the ball, it's not full power, pretty much, as it's similar as in football. But that definitely gave me the foundation to have the coordination in my feet to go on to then transfer over to punting.
Yeah, I found it interesting. I know you grew up in San Diego. We were just talking about that, and I know you were like doing hurdling and like a hurdling, and so I was actually found it interesting just because of the mobility in the legs and like the quick fast twitch, be able to, so like if they don't connect, they don't connect. But like, how does punting and hurdling kind of like fit together?
They do a little bit, because for a couple of reasons, I would say hip flexor speed and flexibility comes into both of them a lot. I know that used to be kind of the injury that I dealt with in high school, going from football season, kicking, hip flexor dominant. Then I would go to soccer season, same thing. Then I'd finish off the year with track and hurdling. And I hurdled righty. So my right foot would go over the hurdle first, and the left one would lag behind. And then you'd have to snap it with your hip flexor to get it over the hurdle. So that was definitely a lot of wear and tear. But that I think that built up the strength. And definitely the leg speed transfers to both of them. There's a lot of things.
Yeah, it's wild. So how did you kind of like start realizing and getting into punting that you had something there?
My brother punted and kicked in high school. And I think that's, you know, I was through and through a soccer player growing up. That's all I did until I got to high school. And my dad convinced me to go play football, not just to be a kicker. It was really just to play everything. I ended up playing mostly corner. And I just went out there. It was open tryouts, basically freshman football. You would go through a bunch of groups. Coaches would see what you could do. And I got to the kicking and punting portion. I think my first ever kickoff was a touchback. And that's when all the coaches kind of looked around. And to me, it was normal. I'd been kicking balls for my whole life. And I could tell by their reaction that that's not something they are used to.
All right. And then what is the furthest you've ever punted? Well, promise last punting specific question, and I was also wondering, like, is this like asking like a fisherman, like the biggest fish they've ever caught? They're going to be like, you know, like what's the, like, can you say what your furthest punt is? Like, do you know it that like one moment?
Yeah. The furthest punt I ever hit from how far the ball traveled from where I kicked it to where it landed was 84 yards in the air at Air Force. With punting, the way they keep track of stats, they take it from the line of scrimmage. And typically the ball is kicked 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So it goes down as a 74 yarder. But if you're just taking total distance, it'd be 84.
There you go. That's pretty damn impressive. So after high school, San Diego State University, and obviously seemed like a good choice to and to focus on kicking there. Like, it was crazy. I was looking at some of the stats in 2021. You finished the season averaging 51.19 yards per punt. I think that was a breaking an NCAA record, which is insane. The Ray Guy Award, most outstanding punter, unanimous All-American. So, like, how did you stay grounded and focus on not only what you had at hand there to, like, you know, help, you know, the team win, but then also, like, not start thinking more about, like, NFL and what's ahead?
Well, I've always been hard on myself. I think for most of my career, probably too hard on myself, where it mentally affected me adversely. Probably wasn't a good thing. So I think that played a part into it. And for me, I'm kind of only as good as my last performance, whether that's a game or it's a practice. I mean, if I go out there and I would have a great game on a Saturday, and then that Monday practice would be bad, it's like, well, I'm definitely, you know, not on cloud nine anymore. I'm frustrated. Okay, what happened? Why didn't it go well today? You know, how could this be happening? I'm putting so well on the weekends, then on a Monday practice, I don't do well. So I think it's just about, you know, you need to see that consistent success and not just get on cloud nine for a brief period of time.
No, I always found, and we've talked here with Stephen Guskowski and other kickers, you know, I'm friends with over the time here. And I just find the mental game of kicking is just so wild, especially, you know, field goal kickers and, you know, and Steven, who had like field goals during, you know, Super Bowls. And I'm sure I know you've had, you know, punts. It's just like, it's wild to me that, like, to be able to, like, the ability to block out noise. I mean, it just feels like something, you know, I guess it must be innate a little bit to you. Like, have you always been able to kind of block it out and stay focused?
A little bit. Yeah. I would say playing sports growing up, I would say the best example of it was playing soccer. If I ever had an injury, it was the weirdest thing. Feel the pain. And then the second the ball comes to me, it all just disappears. So I think it's been an innate thing, being an athlete and being so just competitive that when it's your time to perform, you kind of just lock in naturally.
Yeah, in my experience, that seems like what makes people like the greats, or even people that make it in the league, any professional, that they can, like, in those moments, instead of crumbling, they step it up. So talking about stepping it up, Bills, drafted the Bills last year, 2022. I'm always intrigued by, like, draft stories and what you remember from, you know, being drafted and getting that call. So tell me about that.
It was awesome. It was a great experience. There was a ton of work going into the draft, hearing from my agent and from what coaches are saying about me that the hang time wasn't what they wanted it to be at. You basically, the way the rules are set up in college versus the pros, you need more hang time in the pros, and obviously the returners are better. So it was a big transition of, okay, I needed to add this tool to the bag. And I kind of, you know, it was more or less betting on myself, because I was not at that pro standard of hang time in college, and I was able to pick it up. And by the NFL draft, or by the combine, and by my pro days and workouts, I was right there. So it was 3 months of very quick progress and a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Well, it obviously paid off, and it's pretty cool. Were you a Bills fan at all growing up, or all, I guess, Chargers? Or
yeah, I was a little bit of a Chargers fan growing up. I went to a couple games. Sad they left.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you still a fan?
No, not so much anymore.
Yeah, you got to be. So you've been in the news a lot over the last 9 months. You know, you know, you were accused of a rape charge that you vehemently denied, and as of a day or two ago, you were proven without a doubt innocent. And first off, like, how are you feeling now that the evidence proves that, you know, what you've really been saying all along?
Great. A lot of situations like this become he said, she said. And that was a little bit of a fear of mine at first when everything came out, was that anxiety of how do I prove what happened? And thankfully, there's been 32 witnesses that spoke to the police. DNA evidence. They were able to find videos of the incident on people's phones, download it from the cloud. So there's a mountain of evidence through this whole thing. And I'm just grateful that happened because if that didn't, my life could be looking very differently. Even with the exact same occurrence that night, the night going the exact same, just the level of evidence has probably changed my life.
Yeah, it's a wild, wild situation. Is there a little bit like a little like I told you so feeling now that you've I mean, it just like I feel like you, I almost like feel your pain being in your situation where you're like just did like I didn't do this. And so is there a little bit of that?
A little bit. I did not lose a single friend over this. I did not lose a single family member. The people close to me knew that this was not in the possibilities for things that I would do. So I guess in that aspect, I mean, I didn't really have to deal with anyone close to me having to say I told you so. But yeah, I guess with the world and especially through social media, how many people that reaches now. When the allegations first came out, I was crazy. I was just, talking to my close friends about it. And it's just, it's insane that so many people believe this, that they were all kind of fooled recently. And I'm happy that eventually the truth, it feels like it reached roughly the same amount of people. I mean, it wasn't as big of a story, but it felt pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, it had me thinking. I've been around this industry for like for almost 20 years, and and just how the media can run with things, and especially now with social media, and like I was actually thinking about Tom and Deflategate, and how just like quick that story, got blown up and taken, out of proportion and all this, and so once the accusations came out, the Bills released you, and the idea of innocent and proven until proven guilty kind of went out the window. Like, how do you feel about that?
I think that's in incredibly frustrating and wrong. I mean, that's the principle of our justice system, and that's how it should be. And you can even look back, there are ancient civilizations that had that established. And now, 2022, all this technology, all of the progress we've made, and we throw that out the door. I just think with social media and the whole cancel culture thing, the big issue with that is there's no checks and balances. You look throughout the rest of our country and government and the police and district attorneys and defense attorneys, there's checks and balances everywhere, except when it comes to the court of public opinion. So hopefully my situation can teach people to hold off judgment. You can't expect someone accused of a crime to instantly be able to prove their innocence. That's not how it works. It takes time, it takes investigation, it takes, I mean, it's incredible how slow this process has been. It's so frustrating. But that's what it is, and that's why people need to hold off judgment and wait till all the facts are laid on the table.
Yeah, for sure. Well, like unfortunately and sadly, your career hit a little bit of a roadblock with these false, accusations. And so, how do you focus on staying in shape and getting back on a team, without being bogged down with anger and like other emotions?
Yeah. For me, the big fear was everything getting cleared up and then getting my shot again and failing. So to me, that's been the motivation is okay, you have to stay ready this whole time because there will be nothing worse than okay, everything's good. Here's your shot back. And now all of a sudden I can't perform because I've been dealing with depression or anxiety and all this stuff. So I just had to keep my mind right and stay ready to go out and have the career that I want to have.
Yeah, and no doubt you will. And so what do you what steps are you taking to get back in the league?
I've been working with my same strength coach that I was in draft prep and same punting coach. So the work's being done and I'm just waiting for the opportunity to go prove it. My agent's been talking to a handful of teams. It's a little bit unfortunate that all of this came out after the draft because most teams with a need filled it in the draft. But I'm just hoping and waiting for that shot. And I believe it will come this year.
I in my gut I do too, and just the fact that like I feel like good people and like someone work hard, it does pay off, and so I'm excited to see that, and no doubt our community here at Playing Field will be supporting you, and so I know you have a lot of like what else do you have going on? How else can our community here support you?
I've just been working out. I've been staying ready. Yeah, nothing much. Everything's been pretty simple. It has been a big learning experience going through the legal process, and it's very interesting, and it's life-changing on how being sued, I mean, how serious of a thing it is and how costly it becomes very quickly. But no, I'm just keeping my head down and doing the things day to day that can help get me out of this situation. And I definitely see the light at the end of the tunnel. So the things have gotten a lot better.
Awesome. And to end on a light note, like what's free time look like for you? Like, what do you like to do? I mean, San Diego, my mind goes right to like, you're definitely surfing in your free time, but what's free time look like for you?
Yeah, surfing, golfing, those are definitely two things I enjoy. I picked up boxing a lot recently. There's a ton of good gyms in San Diego. I go to the arena in Point Loma, pretty close to the airport. It's been fun. A bunch of amateur guys, a couple of pros there. It's been fun to see professionals of a different sport and how they handle it and how they work and how I can kind of bring that toughness and that discipline over to my field. It's been pretty cool.
It's an awesome workout. And so last question, as a an aging 40-year-old here, like do you have like one or two great like hip stretches? I know I feel like as we get older and guys like me or we have some really big business guys on our on the playing field community here that probably just sit all day. Like, how do we keep the hips loose? Like, what, you got one good stretch for me?
I do. I might have to bring my camera over to the ground to show you. But I don't know, you might have seen it before. You kind of take a pillow or anything, you put it next to a wall, and then you're going to be facing away from the wall. Put your knee on the pillow, and the wall's going to prop up your leg, right? It's
I
basically a
gotcha.
hip flexor stretch, go back and forth. Then it also does the quad too, which some people forget the quad's attached to the hip flexor. So loosening the quad loosens up the hip flexor too. But I would say for me, that's a personal favorite.
All right, before I'm holding you to it, I'm gonna be doing splits by like the summertime here, so
Okay, I believe you.
I'll be ready. So, well, Matt, I really appreciate your time today, and I know you've been through a lot, recently, and just like we will be behind you 100%, and really looking forward to seeing you back on an NFL field soon. So, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.